We'll get started with a word of prayer, and we will get right into the material for tonight. We'll pray for Ed and continued healing. And then we'll pray for Sarah saw Janice's post on Facebook. Your brother Craig and his wife, she's pregnant with twins and is in the hospital right now, pre-labor. So, and the twins aren't due until June.
They went yesterday. She was having contractions. By the time they got to the hospital, she was fully dilated, lost the water, but then closed up, so the babies didn't come, which was a good thing. But then the doctor said they're susceptible to getting infection now. She's on complete bed rest, can't get up even to walk to the bathroom at the hospital. Has to be completely almost flat. They said we could, try to keep the babies in for one more month if possible, but it's totally up to the Lord. And even then, it's still several months early.
Right.
So it's gonna take a miracle to really.
And it's a boy and a girl, right?
It
twins.
Is, yeah.
And her name is Carrie?
Carrie.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for your prayers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we'll pray for them right now.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for your goodness, and we just thank you that you are sovereign, and you are worthy of worship, and worthy of praise. And so that's our goal tonight, is to ascribe to you glory and majesty and power and dominion, just recognizing that you are king and you are on your throne forevermore. And so we come before you tonight knowing that you are the God who created this entire universe, and yet you are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. And so we just rejoice in that tonight. We find a great hope and peace in that truth. And we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, because he paid for our sins on the cross, so that we can have a relationship with you, Holy God. So we come before you knowing that you are sovereign and good and hold our lives in the very palm of your hands. And so we do lift up Ed to you tonight and just ask for complete healing of his retina. The doctors say that the surgery went well, and God, we just continue to trust and wait on you to see that complete healing has taken place. So I just pray for peace and for strength for him and his wife in the coming days and weeks, and just praise you for how they are rejoicing in you and trusting in you during this time. God, we do lift up Craig and Carrie to you, and this unborn boy and unborn girl, knowing that you have knit them together in their mother's womb. And so we just cry out to you for your abundant mercy and healing to take place. I just pray for peace for Craig and Carrie as they are waiting on you. And I just pray that this would be a time that the doctors look back and can't explain it medically, but know that we'll see that God has brought healing to Carrie's body, and that these babies will be born healthy and strong, and would grow to know and love and serve and fear you, God. So we know that with you, nothing is impossible. And so we pray in hope and in peace. And just pray that you would guide our time of discussion tonight, and help us to glorify you in all things, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
So, last week we got through half of our plan, right? We got through the reading materials, but then we didn't get through the other sheet. So we're going to start with that. I'm trying to find where, I guess I don't have it. Oh, it's over here. So, chapters 2 and chapter 3 of the book, what were those on? Chapter 2 is worship and... that was 3.
Inability.
Chapter 2 is worship and inability, and chapter 3 is worship and humility. And so the practical fleshing of this out is in our private worship. And so that's where we're going to start before we get into our reading chapters for tonight. So here is your handout. Two. I did was just kind of took the principles from our reading from chapters 2 and 3, and also then took two other resources that I would highly recommend to you. The first is this book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, by Donald Whitney. This is basically exactly what Spencer's doing in his class. His class is on the spiritual disciplines, and that's a really important class. Not so important that you should leave here and go to that class, but listen to it online. But this is one of those books that, like, it takes me a long time to read a book, so if I recommend a book to you, it's not flippant, okay? I highly recommend this book. It goes through all the spiritual disciplines: scripture reading, prayer, worship, scripture meditation, evangelism, serving, stewardship, scripture application, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling, and learning. And it just goes through in a very thorough yet understandable way why we should implement these in our lives and how we can implement these in our lives. So Donald Whitney, if you don't know that name, he's a professor down at Southern Seminary, which Sarah and I went to, and it's just so good. And then the other book is Worship on Earth as It Is in Heaven, Exploring Worship as a Spiritual Discipline. And this was the book by Rory Nolan that we went through 3 years ago, maybe, in a firm foundation. And so I've just taken some highlights from both of these books to guide our discussion tonight in how we can have a fruitful life of private worship, okay? I recommend this one even more than I recommend this one. This one is great. It goes, like, half of it is talking about private worship, and then the second half is talking about worship leadership and in the church, worship involvement in corporate worship. I think I agree with every single word in this book, and I agree with 97% of what's in this book. So there's like two pages where he talks about multi-generational worship that I don't agree with, but that's another subject that we can talk about later. And we will actually tonight and next week. So this is where this whole topic of private worship, where these quotes come from. And so the first thing that we'll talk about on this sheet from Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life is that discipline without direction is drudgery. Discipline without direction is drudgery. So he's talking about not incorporating these personal spiritual disciplines just for the sake of duty or just for the sake of checking them off a list. But he says it's important for us to know the purpose. It's important for us to know the direction of them. And so that's kind of these are all from the beginning chapter of this book. So this is kind of an introduction. So discipline without direction is drudgery. He says, there is little value in practicing spiritual disciplines apart from the single purpose that unites them, and that is godliness, right? Taking that from 1 Timothy 4:7, which says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness in the New American Standard Version. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So why do we fast? Why do we read our Bible every day? Why do we pray for the purpose of godliness? You know, talking about discipline like it is if you're training for a marathon or training for any athletic event. You've got to get your muscles in shape, and that's what this is. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. He says, holiness, this next blank, holiness is not an option for those who claim to be children of the Holy One. Holiness is not an option for those who claim to be children of the Holy One. So neither are the means of holiness, that is spiritual disciplines, an option. So he says, God in his word says, be holy as I am holy, and he describes these spiritual disciplines as the means of getting there, the means of living a holy life. And these disciplines include, and I listed them there, Bible intake, prayer, worship, meaning he's talking about corporate worship there, evangelism, service, stewardship, fasting, solitude, journaling, and learning. So there's not some magic formula that says every day you need to do this, this, and this, and the next day you do this, 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 but these some form of these should be existing in our lives. as we think about worship, as we really consider those two words from last week, inability and humility, we recognize that just coming to church isn't enough. And we need, if we really have a relationship with the Lord, we want to be communing with Him as much as possible throughout the week. And these are the ways that we do that. Any questions about that stuff so far? That's kind of just the introduction. Okay. Now, these next quotes are from Worship on Earth as It Is in Heaven. This book, he says, praising God regularly produces a worshipful mindset throughout the day. Does the passages like in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, does that mean that literally I can't do anything but be on my knees and with my hands folded and praying? I can't work, I can't, no. And that's part of what he's getting at here. Praising God regularly produces a worship mindset. So much of the New Testament epistles is about renewing the mind. And that's what our goal is every day, is to continually renew our mind. As we come together in corporate worship, we focus on the gospel so much to renew our minds, to remember, kind of like my sermon from 2 weeks ago, you know, what do I really deserve? What have I been given? Just to remind ourselves of these things. And so if I have my quiet time in the morning, then I can think about and meditate on those things throughout the rest of the day. Or even if I do it at, you know, the night before, then the next day I can be thinking about that. That's the goal of all of this, is to change our hearts, to change our minds, to be constantly thinking about God, thinking about the things of Him, so that when I'm at work, I can interact with my coworker the way that Christ would want me to do. When I'm putting together something on an assembly line, I can do that to the glory of God, thinking about Him, thanking Him for the hands that He has given me to do these things, thanking Him for the mind that allows me to do that. We could go on and on with that. But praising God regularly produces a worshipful mindset throughout the day. Another thing I'll say about that is when we're not doing that, when we're not praising God regularly, we know, you all know, how easy it is for someone says something to you, you snap. Or, you know, there's just a real practical, direct equation to, at least I see this in my own life, to when I have good time, when I'm actually in the Lord's Word, focusing on Him, to how well I live my life. And when if I skip a day, then I can see in my own heart, in my own mind, a lack of godliness there. So he says, the goal is not to spend long hours strenuously laboring to worship God. The goal is not to spend long hours strenuously laboring to worship God, but to make some form of private worship a regular, I would even say, daily habit. He says regular. I met with a guy 2 weeks ago, and he was, you know, stressed out because he didn't have, you know, he has it in his mind what his quiet time should look like. It should look like this, 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 this. And he got so stressed out because he didn't have time to do this, 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 this. So what was his answer? His answer was, don't do anything. And so I said, no, don't worry about, you know, this having to have all these hours. That's good. Obviously, the more time you can have in God's Word, the better, as long as it's fruitful time. But even if you can't do this, 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 do something. Read a psalm just to get your mind on the things of the Lord. So he goes through and kind of gives some specific things of what to do every day or on a regular basis. And the first thing he says is acts. I'm sure you've heard of that, a popular method of prayer. When you pray, just pray this, you know, start off with adoration, saying something that adores the Lord, and then confession of sin. Follow that with thanksgiving for the gospel, thanksgiving for what He has done, and then also, you know, what He has given you, and then supplication, the requests. So not just, the whole point of Acts is to keep it from just, Lord, do this, do this, do this, keeping it from the genie in a bottle, you know. I want my God to do these things, but actually communing with Him, actually talking Another thing, I just referred to it. Read a psalm a day. He says, as you can imagine, the psalms can expand our concept of God. Expand our concept of God. The psalms are so theocentric, I mean, God-centered, that's why they're so helpful, and that's why people go to them so often, is that you don't read the Psalms very long without seeing something about what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, who God is or what He has done, right? You quickly see that in the Psalms. That's one of the reasons why it's such a go-to book. So he says, as you can imagine, the Psalms can expand our concept of God, giving us more attributes for which to praise Him, a more transcendent view of God. More transcendent, T-R-A-N-S-C-E-N-D-E-N-T. What's that mean, a more transcendent view of God?
Clear?
Mm-hmm.
More clear view of God.
Okay, uh-huh.
And like, God's not here as a human, earthly view, how He's a God in heaven,
uh-huh.
Higher than us.
Yep. Yeah, higher than us, other than us, holy. It's a clear picture that God is different than us, and that's a good thing. Now, the counterpart to His transcendence is His immanence, meaning His nearness. So even though He's other than us, He is also very near. He says, I also recommend that you read Psalms aloud, even during private worship. Originally, Psalms were intended to be sung or spoken. I find that reading Psalms out loud forces me to slow down and read the words more carefully and thoughtfully. I just put this in here because I find that to be a really practical help for me. I can read stuff and not have any idea. Well, if I read upside down, I don't have no idea. But I read stuff and I have no idea what I just read after I finish a paragraph, right? But if I read it out loud, that engages my mind a little bit more and makes me stop. That's just, you know, maybe you can read and you're... Well, you probably are smarter than me and can read and actually understand words, but it takes... And I even do this with my prayer life. I like to pray out loud, too, because it keeps my mind focused and doesn't let my mind wander. Another thing he says, so we've got Acts, the prayer, we've got reading a psalm a day, and then he says, just ask, who is God? He says, many Christians turn immediately to the Psalms when it's time to worship. And for good reason, like we've already said. It says, however, you could open your Bible to any page, get a glimpse of who God is, and find ample reason to worship Him. That's a good, not only a truth, but a good exercise to do sometime. Just open your Bible up to a page, and then find something on that page to worship Him for. I think that just kind of keeps it. It causes the Word of God to be living and active in our lives rather than just being a historical reference when we're going through the Old Testament. And that's, we talked about that last week, just about songs. You know, if there's a song in a corporate worship service that I'm just like, I'm not really getting it, find something in there to worship Him. And that's what he's saying here about God's Word. He says, read the Gospels. He says, worship, that's the next blank there underneath the Gospels. Worship is an appropriate response whenever we encounter Christ in the Gospels. Whenever reading the Gospels, be on the lookout for attributes of God exhibited through who? Jesus Christ. Tricked you with the two blanks. Be on the lookout for attributes of God exhibited through Jesus Christ. Ask yourself whether the passage before you uncovers any insight about who God is, and then worship accordingly. Have a little color-coded system in my Bible, and it's over there. And so anything in dark blue in my Bible is knowledge of God. It tells me something about who God is, and so I do that just so that there's something quick that I can open up my Bible to any time during the day and just stop and praise Him for that. Then he goes on to the epistles. As we read the epistles, he says the dominant theme in these early hymns of the church, and he gave a couple of examples of those hymns there. Dominant theme of these hymns is that Christ is preeminent. He's before, he's above. Literally, the dictionary says stand out for preeminent. That Christ is preeminent, the glorious image of God and worthy of our highest praise. Christ is preeminent, the glorious image of God and worthy of our highest praise. Then he just says, and we've talked about this one before, meditate on the names and attributes of God. I would encourage you to do this week. Every day that you sit down, just say, fill in that blank. God is, that's the very first thing we did in this class, right? God is blank. And then just think about what that means. Maybe look up a few verses, but just praise him for that. God is, maybe Monday it's faithful. Tuesday, God is sovereign. Wednesday, God is just, whatever. He says, David, the whole first half of this book about being a private worshiper, he uses David as an example and keeps referring to things in David's life. So he says, David not only meditated on who God is, but also what God has done. And we've talked about that. Worship at the core is who is God and what has he done. Unfortunately, some people are intimidated by meditation, he says. What is meditation? Meditation is just thinking, right? It's a specific thinking and an extended period of time of thinking about a one, you know, in this case, an attribute or a name of God. Unfortunately, some people are intimidated by meditation. Christian meditation, as it relates to worship, is simply taking the time to think about who God is and what God has done. Don't let that word scare you. Meditate, but all it means is just a lot. Stop. That's a big part of meditation. Is just let's just stop for a minute and just think about who God is and what He's done. And then he references Selah in the Psalms. It's a musical interlude. A musical interlude, meaning that word for those non-musicians is a thing in between spoken or sung portions. Just instrumental, or a silence even. A musical interlude whereby people are encouraged to think about what they just heard or read. And that's a practical thing for our corporate worship services. When we do, you know, eight measures instead of four measures, a little bit longer time in between verses of a song, is that to just ooh and ah over the band, how great they're playing? No, hopefully, and that's why we put scripture up on the screen to guide that time of meditation. But it's just time to stop. You know, we can get so caught up in firing out words as we sing that we don't really just stop and think about what we're singing. And so really that's all that time is for. So he says incorporate that even in your private lives of worship. Don't just read through and say, I've got to read three chapters today, so I just truck on through that without really stopping to think. No, take that time to meditate on what you've just read, who God is. Another practical thing he says to do, pray the names and attributes of God. If prayer is a struggle for you, that's a very good way to start incorporating that more in your life. He says, for these representations of the divine attributes which show us in some degree the majesty and greatness of God are an excellent means of raising our hearts into lively acts of worship and adoration. It's hard to stop and think about who God is, a name or an attribute of Him, without being led into worship. He says, and then offer, just do a daily praise offering, he says. However you choose to practice it, adopting a specific attribute of God as your theme for the day, week, or year, is guaranteed to enhance your worship. I would say, you know, if I have my quiet time and I'm reading God's Word and I put the Bible, I close the Bible, and I can't give you one sentence, one attribute of God that I can praise Him for because of what I just read, then I need to go back and look at it. So that's what I always tell people is don't worry about how much you're reading, just what are you taking from that about who is God. And so like today, reading through Ephesians, you know, the power of God is constantly through that. And so that was one of my takeaways from reading through Ephesians this morning, was just that God is powerful. His power raised Christ from the dead, and that same power, Ephesians 3:20, is at work in me, at work in us. And so power has kind of been the theme of my day today. Then he says, now here we go, now we're getting tricky. He says, write your own psalm. And then he gives us three types of psalms so that this is not an intimidating thing. First type of psalm, he says, is a hymn of thanksgiving. Hymn of thanksgiving. So if you're going to write your own psalm, your own hymn of thanksgiving, what is it going to include? It's going to include three things. It's going to describe a past problem. Describe a past problem. And then it's going to recount how God intervened. Describe a past problem, recount how God intervened, and express thanksgiving for God's grace. As we look through the Psalms, we see Psalms of thanksgiving. Most of them have these three things. And so he encourages you to just write that down. Just write down a past problem, how God intervened, and express thanksgiving for God's grace in that situation. That's a hymn of thanksgiving. He says another one is a hymn of praise. A hymn of praise. And it, he says it generally starts by calling God's people to worship. So, praise the Lord. Maybe it's just that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of those, the last, you know, five psalms start off that way. A call for people to worship. And then it states specific reasons to worship God. Praise the Lord, for He is great. Praise the Lord, for He is holy. And it cites specific names or attributes of God. That's probably the easiest one for us to write out. A hymn of praise generally starts by calling people to worship, states specific reasons to worship God, and cites specific names or attributes of God. And then the third kind is songs of lament. And these are addressed specifically to God. They're not just about God to where a hymn of praise or thanksgiving would be. I mean, you could turn those into them being to God as well, but songs of lament are specifically addressed to God. It states a personal problem or crisis. Maybe one that's not, you know, maybe you haven't seen how God has intervened like a psalm of thanksgiving yet, but it eventually affirms hope and trust in God. So even though I don't know the outcome, even though everything's not great again yet, I can still affirm hope and trust in God. And then I just put this in here. It's something that we talked about in our last Firm Foundation class when we did this book. He puts a little note in there for pastors and worship leaders. He says, leaders need to model what it means to be a private worshiper. And that's the most important thing for me about whoever is up on the platform. It's, I mean, yeah, hopefully they have a good voice. Hopefully they can, you know, do all these things. But at the core, the leaders need to model what it means to be a private worshiper. And that's relatively easy to find out, you know, just talking to people about spiritual things. What one of my favorite questions to ask is just, what's the Lord been teaching you this week, or what have you been thanking the Lord for this week? So that's the quick private worship summary. Other practical things that people other people have read and I've found to be important is just pick a time during the day. Someone, I can't remember who wrote this, but someone said pick a regular time and a regular place. So whether that, and then yes, that may change, but my rule is always, I won't put, and I mean, this is my rule, and yes, I have broken it. I don't want to be putting myself out there too high and lofty, but my goal is that I won't put my head on my pillow until I've had some time alone in God's Word with Him. And whether that's a psalm, whether that's a whole book, whatever the case. You know, people get thrown off like, okay, my time is first thing in the morning, and so then if they miss that time, if they wake up late or whatever, then they never do it again, you know, for the rest of the day. They wait for tomorrow, and I'm like, no, just give yourself some markers. If I haven't done it by this time, then do it here. Like, typically, I value And I wish I could be one of those that my quiet time is first thing in the morning, but I'm just like, it takes me a while to wake up. So typically my time is lunchtime. That's when I, you know, it's quiet, typically quiet around here, so then I can have that time. If I have a lunch meeting or appointment, then it's usually right after that lunchtime. And so, you know, give yourself those markers. Don't just say, if I don't do it this time, then I wait till tomorrow. Give yourself some markers, and then definitely with not closing your eyes before you go to bed. And why do we pray at meals? Why is there something specifically? No, I think that's just a time that everyone eats every day. And so I think, well, yes, it's good to be grateful for actually the meal, but even more than that, those are our markers during the day that we can focus on who God is, praising God regularly. That's one of the ways that we can do that is still, well, we eat typically 3 times a day or 5 if you're like me, but spend those times just thanking the Lord for who he is. So, any questions or comments about any of that? We went through that quickly, but okay. Let us, as we transition into our next section, let us sing. So I'm going to pass this around. It's the stack of music for tonight. So take the whole stack. They're, you know, see how they are? They're like every other one. So take a whole stack and pass it along. And if you don't want the music, you just pass the whole thing. You don't need to take the music.
I know, George.
These are the words. And that's a little more confusing. It's 2 pages, so I'll
dream.
So as you see, we're shifting gears now and to talk about corporate worship.
Which
one is it?
What are you looking at?
Yeah, we can share.
Oh, no,
I don't know.
So, we'll start with the first
one. I think you're just missing the top on the key.
Yeah.
I think that's an extra. Do you have the pages?
So we'll just sing the first two, and then we'll sing the others after a while. So let's see how good it is.
On this journey.
share, to rejoice with the happy, and weep with those who mourn, for the weak find strength, the afflicted find grace, when we offer the blessing of belonging. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll lift out His word to the whole earth seas. The Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people.
My soul is